Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord today for this opportunity and privilege that I have to be with you again and to share the Word of God with you today. I tell you, it is a joy to be saved, to be born again and having the free gift of eternal life, knowing that I'll never perish and neither is any man able to pluck me out of God's hand. I tell you, I'm in the palm of His Son's hand and no one can pluck me out of it. I tell you, I'm thankful that I've been saved. I'm eternally saved. And I tell you, even myself cannot pluck myself out of the hand of the Lord. And I'm thankful to know that. I have no desire to depart from God. And I tell you, I have no license to sin. Don't want to sin. I hate sin. I tell you, my very best state, I'm altogether vanity. But I tell you, I strive to perfect wholeness. Like Paul said, that we're to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not apprehended as yet, brethren, but one thing I do, I press toward the mark. And I tell you, that's what God's people should do, is press toward the mark and to lay aside any weight, any sin that so easily besets us, and run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I tell you, the flesh stinks, it's rotten, and it's foul. If you sow to the flesh of your flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow in the Spirit, you shall reap bountifully. And so the Bible tells us to lay aside, crucify, mortify, and put to death the deeds of this flesh. Once we've been saved, God saved us. He didn't take us out of the world when He saved us. I tell you, He took the love of the world out of us, but He didn't take us out of the world. And so therefore, the love of the world, I have no desire for anymore. I don't love this world. I don't love sin. I hate sin. I love God. And I tell you, I'm to lay aside all the fleshly desires that may come up that we're tempted by. And Satan will tempt us. Our flesh is tempted by the lust that's in our flesh. And see, I hadn't perfected as yet. That's what Paul meant too. He's saying I hadn't perfected as yet, because we're still in a human body. We're still in this old body of flesh. And I tell you, as long as we're in this tabernacle, we're going to groan. We're going to be tempted. I tell you, we're going to make mistakes, and it's not to make any excuses for. But I'm thankful that I can go to God, and I tell you, there's mercy with the Lord, there's forgiveness with Him. I'm not running after willful acts of sin, have no desire to do so, but I find myself each and every day that I need to repent, call on God, and cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh, striving to perfect holiness in the fear of God. I tell you, laying aside everything that's displeasing in the sight of God. And I'm thankful we have the Word of God to get into and to read, to study, and to know our flesh and to see ourselves in a better way, that we may know the things that we do, whether they be right or whether they be wrong. God's give us a God-given conscience. But I tell you, there's some things we don't see, I tell you, too clearly until we get into the Word of God. I mean, we know that adultery is wrong. We know that homosexuality is wrong. If you really be honest about it, your conscience tells you, nature tells you, nature teaches you, even if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. I tell you, these things we know. We know that fornication is wrong. And I tell you, people say, oh, I don't see nothing wrong with it, or this or that. The Bible tells us, even if you look on a woman, or a woman look on a man, I mean, desire them. I tell you, if they're married, they committed adultery already in their heart. And I see that we know these things are wrong. And we know it by the Word, too. We have the Word of God. We have the law that was given. And I tell you, the commandments that God gave, His statutes, and everything else that God give us, that we may know how to conduct ourselves and how we ought to live and to please God. And we also to live by faith, not by sight. No man can please the Lord without faith. And we must walk in the light of His Word, and we must live by faith. The Bible said, and the just shall live by faith. And see, we live by faith. I hadn't seen God with my natural eye, but I've seen Him spiritually. I mean, with my spiritual eyes, I've beheld Him. I know He's real. I know He's alive, and He's alive in me. And I know I'm going to heaven one day because He saved me. And He didn't only save me. He sealed me. You see, I was born into the family and household of God when I got saved. And when I tell you, when God purchased me, I tell you, by the blood of Jesus, I was purchased. And I tell you, I belong to Jesus now because he bought me. And I tell you, I'm to live unto him. And the devil can't get my soul. I tell you, I've been covered with the blood of Jesus. And the devil can't get under the blood and pluck me out of his hand. If he could, then he'd be a saved devil. And I tell you, he's not going to ever be saved. He's lost his... His place has already been spoken of. I tell you, it's real. It's a real place. People are there today. Hell itself, they've rejected the Lord Jesus. They rejected God. They're in hell today. And one day, the devil's going to be locked up forever in this place of torment. Right now, he's loosed upon the earth, going forth seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you, the devil's very good at what he does. And I tell you, one of the strongest tools he has, if it's not the strongest, I tell you, is the tool of religion. He has people bound up with religion. I tell you, just as long as they believe in something, as long as they think this or that, or they mention God, that they're all right and that they're going to go to heaven. I tell you, that's a lie straight out of hell itself. I tell you, no one's going to get to heaven outside of coming through the door, which is Jesus. And the Bible said you got to confess your sin to him. The Bible tells us that in Romans 10, that we got to believe in our heart, you see. It's with a heart that man believes unto righteousness. Mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, you got to believe on whom God has sent. And how are you going to believe on him if you hadn't heard about him, you see? And how's a man going to come and preach him unless he be sent? You see, God sends his people out to preach the word. Now, God sends his men out to preach. He sends others out. He sends the women out, I tell you, to witness, testify. They preach through testimony and to be a witness unto those that God sends them to. The men as well, young men, young ladies. I tell you, God uses his body to get the word of God out. But we have a due order. We have it all here. As we get into the New Testament, we go and see how God has ordained and what God has called a man to be a pastor, to be a bishop. The Bible tells us that. Well, you see that in the book of Timothy, chapter 3, I believe it is. The book of Titus, you go and read those, and you'll see the office of a bishop and the office of a deacon and so forth. And it goes on. It talks about how the younger women are to do and what they ought to do and how the older women ought to. And the same thing with the elderly men, the younger men. We all have a due order. We all have things we ought to do and conduct ourselves. And I tell you, the Lord has it all in this precious Bible here. And I'm thankful that we have it today. I tell you, we got a roadmap here. We got an instruction manual right here to know, you see, from right from wrong. One man may say, well, it's all right to do this. And the other man says, it's not all right to do it. And I tell you, but see, we have the Word of God to go to. And I tell you, we go by this Bible. This is God's mouth right here. This is God's Word. And this is what God sends us through the men of God that he's called to preach, and he puts his word in them to bring forth, you see, and to speak it with spirit and with power, and to show my people, he said, my people, their sins and their transgressions. That's what the word of God is for, to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and sound doctrine. Because the time will come where they will endure sound doctrine, but they would heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, turning away from the truth and turning unto fables. And we're living in those days today. I tell you, we're living in these perilous times, these dangerous times. I tell you, where men and women will not hear the word of God. In a lot of cases, they can't hear it because there's no one preaching it. See, I tell you, that's what the Bible said. There's a famine in the land of hearing the word, of hearing it, whether it's not being preached or whether it's being preached and people or those who are not receiving it. And we're living in that time. And God says he's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with this world. And Paul, when he wrote unto Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, he talked to him, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall judge, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge you to preach the word and to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and sound doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was writing to Timothy right here at his end time when God was going to take him up, and that he fought the fight and his race was run, and it come time for him to leave. And the Bible said, he said, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was going to be offered up. You see, they martyred him. They killed him. And he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. Now, they wanted to get him at other times when he was let down by out the window, by down the wall in a basket. You see, they would come to get him. I tell you, there's other times, you see, where they stoned and left him for dead and all these different things. Just like the Lord Jesus, they couldn't take Paul's life until it was time. And I tell you, Paul said, my time has come. And he said, my departure's at hand. And I have fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but he said, but to all them that love his appearing. And you see, we must preach the word in this end time. You see, I tell you, there's preachers that don't want to preach against sin. We have the word, and the Bible tells us. You see, the word of God just gives us good examples and how we ought to go. You see, God used in the book the prophets of Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah, prophet Amos. You see, they prophesied about things and how God was going to deal with Israel and Jacob. You see, what I'm trying to say, Judah and Israel and so forth. God was going to deal with them, but he compared them unto Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm likening you unto them. He said that you know, as he hated their sins and how he had to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah and all those cities round about Sodom, that he destroyed them, you see. And the Lord said that he's hate their sins like he hated their sin. He said even the prophets of Judah and the prophets of Israel, you see, they were in fornication and adultery and so forth. I mean, just vile, and some running after the prophets of Baal and so forth. And God said, I'm going to deal with them. You see, God said, I'm going to deal with the nation of Israel. But thank God, he said, he's preserved the remnant according to the election of grace, and that God was going to preserve. You see, God preserves we that are saved, we that are born again. He keeps us by his keeping power, by his hand. And there's nothing greater than him. There's nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. And so I'm eternally saved. But I tell you, it makes me want to love him more. It makes me want to live for him. It makes me want to just continue to get closer and cleaner and to be more like him. And that'll make me want to sin. I hate sin. You see, I've been born of a new nature, divine nature. See, I've been born of a clean nature. I don't have a swine's nature no more. I don't have a dog's nature no more. I have no desire to run like a dog. I have no desire to run like a swine, you see. I have no desire to be in the swine, the pig's pen. But see, now that I'm saved, I tell you, I've got a sheep's nature, a clean nature. And I tell you, I just want to clean myself up and continue to clean it up daily, that I might be pleasing in the sight of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, today, my time's quickly come and gone. I tell you, we're living in the last days. I believe that, and I believe he's coming soon. And what you do, you better do it now while you have an opportunity. As God's speaking to your heart, as God deals with you, get by yourself somewhere and pray and ask God to have mercy on you and forgive you. Now, he'll forgive your sin, even if you're in the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, the sin of homosexuality, the sin of adultery and fornication, all these different sins were going on, but the predominant sin was the homosexuality. But I'm here to tell you there's hope for you and that God will forgive that sin. And if you'll come to him and repent and call upon him, he'll save you just like you are. I see my time's gone. God bless you in Jesus' precious name, and amen.